Last week we saw who Jesus is. He is God's Son who is sent as the King who will rule forever. But the question that we then have off the back of that is, why would he want to rule this world? This world in particular. Because it doesn't take much for us to see the biggest problems in this world around us today, does it? Now, one night I was out with my wife at Covent Garden, and we were trying to find a way to South Bank via Charing Cross. And of course, this is around the tourist season, as you can imagine. Absolutely crowded. There's no way through. And I was like, you know what? Let's take a shortcut. And in my bravado, I was like, I know the way. Don't worry about that. But we took a turn. We took another turn. And I don't know if you know the area too well, but turned out we didn't as much as we thought we did. Because just behind the Savoy Hotel, we discovered Tent City. Now, do you know what I'm talking about? Tent City. Just tents all the way down the street, full of homeless people. And as we walked through those tents, the need was just overwhelming for both of us. And you don't have to go there to see the need of poverty in London. You can go to just off Park Lane there. You can go into the undergrounds. Everywhere you look, who can help these people? But it's not just there where that problem exists. I'm sure you've chatted on your tables about other problems that exist in this world around us today. You talked about corruption. You talked about greed. And I'm sure you've seen scenarios in your life where you think, there's just so much need in this world around us today. And if we're trying to care for everyone everywhere right now, it would probably be too much. We would end up with emotional fatigue. See, everywhere we look, whether it's the highest or lowest of people, people feel lost. They're looking for meaning. They're looking for identity. They're looking for the understanding of life. And seeking to find it in this world from people who belong in this world leaves them hungry and seeking more. But what about you, though? How do you feel? Do you feel lost? Do you feel like you need help? When Jesus came into this world, Jesus didn't come to rule over a world full of natural disasters or evil or even suffering and death. But as we seen last week, Jesus came to reveal himself as someone who is greater than those forces. And so we now need to start asking this question. Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come as God's Son from heaven into earth? Well, for us to answer this question, we must understand the root problem that lies behind all of these issues which we've been thinking about today. And the first issue that we think about is this. Spiritual sickness. Spiritual sickness. Now, take your Luke's Gospels from your table, and we'll turn to Luke chapter 5 on page 19. And Luke chapter 5, which you can read for yourself, and Jesus is having dinner with a man called Levi. Now, Levi is a tax collector who leaves behind his old career to follow Jesus. The religious leaders weren't happy with what Jesus was doing in that time. Because after all, at this point, Jesus was known to be a good teacher. Someone who's respected. And yet here he is hanging out with disgraceful people like tax collectors, who back then were known as sinners. Today, you can know them by many names, but let's keep this PG. Now, traditionally, a sinner was someone who broke God's law. Now, in the past, God gave his people a set of rules to follow. And if they did so, they would live a good life. However, many people would rather live under the mantra that rules are made to be broken. In other words, we have rules, but we don't necessarily have to follow them. We can choose to abide by them or not. Or even better yet, we can make our own rules, our own laws which our lives are governed by. But the problem with that is that we don't care what the ramifications of that may be, either to make our own rules or to break the rules given to us. You see, God's rules were given to protect humanity, to help them to thrive. They were positive and they provided a means for us all to flourish. But what happens if we break those rules or change those rules? Well, firstly, we disobey God, our Creator, the one who is in charge. and we become broken because we are filled with something called sin. Now, Jesus recognized the brokenness of this world that we live in today. And so in response to the religious leaders, he says this. And you can read with me here in verse 31. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus came, as you can see here, to help the sick. But their sickness here isn't physical. It's spiritual. And we might not use this word repentance too often today, but repentance is the act of seeing how much of a sinner we are, being sorry for the things we have done, and turning to God, asking for forgiveness, and turning away from our old lives. Now, the Bible shows how personal sin is for all of us and how devastating the effects of it are. As we have seen, this world is fundamentally broken. Nothing seems what it should be. And yet when we wonder who is responsible for the problems of this world and the evil that lies behind it all, it doesn't take a genius to work out where the root lies. It's humanity. Behind every evil atrocity is the face of a person or a group of people. And their evil actions are what the Bible calls sin. Sin that offends God, who made this world and is the ruler of it, and sin which causes those people to reject God and to do their own thing instead. Now, God will not let sin lie unpunished. And the penalty for sin is death. But not just death the way you think about it. It is also the separation from God for all eternity. In this world, we can be afraid of those who might want to take lives. But Jesus tells us to be more afraid of something much worse over in chapter 12. You can look for it yourself on page 43. Jesus says this, chapter 12, verse 5. Do not fear those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after he is killed has the authority to cast into hell. Now hold on a second. You might be thinking that you're not as bad as those people out there. I'm not an awful person. And I might have done one or two things. Maybe I told a white lie. Maybe I was jealous of my neighbor once. But I've definitely never murdered anyone. I've definitely never started a war. I've never even had an affair. My actions prove that I'm a decent person. So who are you to judge me? Don't put me in the same bracket as that lot. Surely God won't put me to death for the things I have done. Now, unfortunately, that's not as true as you would like it to be. Even if you were to be as perfect as the religious leaders of that time, you still wouldn't be considered good enough or to be in the right before God. And the only way that we can define this is that this is called spiritual blindness. And for us to see what spiritual blindness it looks like, we need to look at an example of it. So turn with me to Luke chapter 18. And in Luke chapter 18, Jesus has an encounter with a religious leader who is also rich. You can find it yourselves on page 60. Now, surely if he is rich, then everything is going well for him in life. Life is good. He is an upright person in society. He's someone you wouldn't hear of being embroiled in any scandals. And he is someone who has obeyed the law. But Jesus challenges his posture before God. Listen closely to what the rich leader says. His question is this. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Do you see what he wanted there? He wants eternal life. He wants to avoid God's judgment and punishment for sin and to be given the opposite, the reward of life with God forever. But he wanted to earn that reward. And so, he carefully obeyed the law since he was a kid. He carefully obeyed God's commandments that were given to his people in the past. But Jesus knew he had something that kept him from knowing God. And that was his reliance on his wealth and himself. Now, it's not that there's anything wrong with being wealthy, but it's the nature that comes from the heart that reveals how you view that wealth. So Jesus exposes him with these words. One thing that you still lack, sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But when he, that's the rich man, heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Now when Jesus listed the commandments to the rich man, in verse 20, you know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother. Notice there that Jesus doesn't list all the commands which God gave to his people in the past. He was only intentional in listing those commands which the man himself kept, and not those that he didn't see that he failed to obey. The 10th commandment is very simple. Do not covet for yourself. Do not hoard wealth and greed. But that's what the man did. In doing so, he broke the law. Much as in the same way, all of us at some point in our lives have also broken the law. Now, we might think we're decent people, but the reality is that we are spiritually blind to our own spiritual sickness. This man here that we are looking at is lost. And in truth, we too are lost as well. But he wasn't just blind to his own problems. He was also blind to knowing who Jesus was. Look again closely at what the man says in verse 18. He addresses Jesus as good teacher. Now look at the response that Jesus gives in verse 19. Jesus retorts with, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Now if the man knew who Jesus was, then he wouldn't have been so sad. He knows that Jesus is good, and if Jesus says to him, no one is good except God alone, well, Jesus has given him an opportunity to show that he is God. He is God's son who has came. But yet he is blind to seeing who Jesus is. And yet so is everyone else here. Because Jesus gives this judgment, and it's so startling that those who are watching on are surprised and say these words. Who can be saved? Will everyone face a certain judgment of hell and separation from God forever? Who can get eternal life? See, nobody could see the solution to the biggest problem that they all faced. They were all spiritually blind. And here Jesus reveals the answer to this problem by revealing who he is and a solution to the problem that's created. Look at what Jesus says. Verse 27. What is impossible with men is possible with God. That solution is the reason why Jesus came. Jesus came to save the spiritually lost. Jesus is God's son who came to seek and save the lost. And in Luke chapter 19, just over the page, we meet another rich person called Zacchaeus. Now follow along with me here on page 61. There was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small in stature. Now what we notice here is that Zacchaeus is a few things. He's got a good job. Tax collector though, boo. He was rich. Definitely a good job. And he was short. And now, whilst he was too short to see Jesus, and whilst he was rich and had a prominent position in Roman culture, notice how it wasn't because he obeyed the law. In fact, he was considered unimportant and disliked by many people, just as we've seen earlier on with that guy Levi. And this is not just because he's a tax collector, but because Zacchaeus was known for embezzling money, stealing it off the neighbours and townsfolk. I think it's safe to say nobody likes Zacchaeus. And nobody thought Jesus had time for him. And yet listen to what Jesus says in verse 5. Jesus says to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Jesus wanted to stay with him. He wanted to spend time with him. Jesus wanted to have dinner with him. And when Jesus did this, look at what Zacchaeus says in response. Jesus says, if you just turn over your page, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. Now, this doesn't mean that Zacchaeus has to give money in order to be saved. But what it shows us is that Zacchaeus, unlike the rich man, was willing to give up everything he worked for in order to know Jesus. In that moment, Zacchaeus was exposed for who he was, and he turned to Jesus in seeing who he is as Lord. Jesus responds in this way, salvation is come to this house, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And the title that Jesus uses there is very interesting, because the Son of Man is a title that was used to describe God's sent King or God's Son. And so Jesus here shows who he is and why he came. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And as we have seen, this problem of sin has left us lost and distant from God. Now the Bible describes us as wandering sheep who are far from him. And yet the good news in the Gospels is that Jesus came to seek and to save us from the deepest problem that affects everything in this broken world around us, and also affects us as well. And until we see our real problem of sin, we will never realize our need for Jesus. And in fact, this will cause us to see him the wrong way. But once we recognize we are spiritually sick because of sin, and that only Jesus can help us, then, like Zacchaeus, we will see that Jesus is able to save us as God's King or Lord, and that he has come to rescue us from the greatest problem that affects everyone. Because what is impossible with man is possible with God. But in order for us to be saved by Jesus, we have to do three things. Firstly, recognize our sickness. See that we are sinful and that there is nothing we can do about it. Secondly, we are to see who Jesus is. That he is not just a good teacher, but he is God's sent King who has come to deal with our sin. And thirdly, we are to receive him as Lord. We are to give our lives over to him, knowing that Jesus came to save the lost. So the question for you is this. What will you do in response to knowing why Jesus came? In a moment, we're going to break into a time of discussion. You'll see some questions there on your table. But before I hand over to you guys and to chat together, let me just say a quick prayer, and then I will wrap things up and then end at around 22, so you've got 10 minutes, and I'll give one or two notices. But let me just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for seeing who Jesus is and the reason why he came to this earth, that he came to save sinners like us. Lord, help us to spend more time looking at your word and see how Jesus is able to do that. And Lord, help us to recognize who we are in light of who Jesus is. And so Lord, we just pray for these things and pray you'd help us now in this time of discussion. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.